I just have to say, you know, so I worked in youth ministry for 5 years, and youth ministry isn't hard, and now I'm in children ministry. No, youth ministry isn't easy. and I'm on the list to go to children ministry, and that's not easy all the time. But how blessed we are to have youth minister or children ministers that get teary-eyed when the children are getting ready to graduate because they're seeing growth in them and they're moving on. And to see what youth pastors are instilling into the children, the youth, as they go and prepare for adulthood, that's no easy task and something that we shouldn't take for granted or lightly, because there is other people out there that care for your children as well and love them as Amen. Well. Amen. And they're showing them and teaching them things in a godly way, and that's a blessing. So to the children that graduated today, to the youth, God bless you and your endeavors and all you do. Now, do they go to children ministry today, or are they done? You're done. All right, you're staying in. But all other children, you were released to go over to children ministry. Amen. Good morning. Some of you are going, whoa, you preached last week, Pastor Mike. What are you doing up there? It's kind of, people are like, who moved the cheese, right? Who moved the cheese? Wait, what? Change. Change is in the environment. Anyways, I am preaching once again today, and I am very, very excited and stirred once again with the things of God. So again, today, be talking about the kingdom of God. Today is the kingdom of God, part two. And this is something that I plan on staying in for a little while because it's vast and huge. And what I was sharing with you last week, if you were here or if you listened online, that the Bible is about, the whole entire Bible is about kingdom. In the very beginning of Genesis, it was Adam and Eve who had dominion, kingdom rule over all of creation. Amen? Created by God, but they had kingdom rule over it. And then we move on through the Old Testament, and it's all about the rise and fall of kings and what kings served God and what kings didn't serve God. And then we move into the New Testament, or the transitional part of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? The Gospels. And in there we see that Jesus came preaching the very first thing, what? The kingdom of God is at hand, or the kingdom of God is here. And then we go all the way to the end of the word of God into Revelations, and what do we have? We have the kingdom of God that is coming with Jesus also in return for us to have full millennial reign for 1,000 years. So from the beginning of the word of God to the end of the word of God, it is about the kingdom of God. And last week I was saying, in order to understand kingdom, in order to understand that, we have to understand kingdom, because as Americans, we understand a democracy. We understand a president that's elected and has to go through all kinds of different votes, the Senate and Congress, in order to make things pass and work. But in a kingdom, no, the king says it and so be it, and it's done. And so I will be explaining a little bit more, or recapping some more about that whole process in the kingdom. But before I get into that, I want to retouch again the knowledge, the understanding, and the wisdom that I touched on last week as well. Because everything that we do, you can know all kinds of things and have all kinds of information, but unless you apply it, it doesn't really mean anything in your life. So I want to touch that. Before I give those definitions and bring an analogy to it, I'm talking about the kingdom of God, and we've been learning for a couple years about the grace of God, right? Before I learned about the grace of God, I learned about my faith in God. See, this is the whole package. Paul was speaking to believers, and he was saying, how long do you have to drink milk? But there's a point in time where you need to start chewing meat, and this is what he was saying. So, Our salvation is that point of just drinking milk, okay? Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You're saved. You're saved. So I'm not talking about salvation. I want to talk about more about the meat of things. So yes, we have grace, and yes, we have faith, But we also need to know that that is all encompassed in the kingdom of God. The same as doing right and doing wrong and being an ambassador for Christ, meaning a representative for Jesus Christ, that's pretty big. That's not just, hey, I'm saved. That is the fullness of who you are and how you spread the advancement of the kingdom by how you do things and how you represent Jesus. Do you represent Jesus as Jesus? Things to just ponder and think about. So, knowledge, definition is information. Understanding, definition is comprehension. Wisdom is application. For example, if you were taught 2 plus 2 is 4, you have the understanding that 2, and now you comprehend that 2, they equal 4. The application of that would be, when I take 2 plus 2, I'm not going to get the answer 3, and I'm not going to get the answer 5, but I'm going to get the answer 4. Another way to explain this is when you have knowledge, the information, and then understanding, the comprehension, without wisdom is like a doctor who smokes. The doctor knows, a medical doctor knows, that the cigarette smoking has all kinds of issues that come with it. The wisdom part would be that they would apply this knowledge and not smoke. Are you with me? But when you know something and you don't apply it, you're not applying wisdom to what you know. Is there confusion on that, or you understand what I'm saying? This is how it is with the Word of God. The Word of God has been laid out in Holy Scripture for us to learn about it and then apply it to our lives. Are you with me? I've never, ever in my life, guys, had to counsel somebody because they gave too much. I've had to counsel people that were in lack and they didn't even have the principle of giving down. I've never had to counsel somebody about being out of their mind when they live a sober life. But I have had to counsel people who didn't live a sober life because they were out of their mind. Does any of this make sense? Does it hit home? Is it like a dagger in the heart? Or is it like, wow, that's good? I'm just wondering here because this applies to me as well. If I got high blood pressure or something like that, I know that things that I put into my body cause the high blood pressure in my life. I have the understanding. I have that knowledge. But if I don't apply the knowledge that eating better is going to help lower my blood pressure, then I'll always have high blood pressure. But when I apply the knowledge to eat right, my blood pressure goes down. I'm just trying to set a stage here so that you would understand that the Word of God is vast and big and forever growing in our lives each and every day. And I don't care if you're 3 years old or 90 years old, you can still learn, right? You haven't arrived at your destination, right? You're in a journey right now. Your destination is out there further. But do you know that when you die as a believer, you will be coming back to have millennial reign here on earth? Did you know that? The kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is so big and so vast, and that's why Jesus came preaching about the kingdom of God. I also laid out last week that he didn't come preaching about healing. He just healed. He was exercising or demonstrating the power and authority of God, of the King of Kings, that when you walk in this manner, things happen and take place. Jesus came to give us all three things. He came to give us knowledge and understanding and wisdom. So let me cover what a kingdom is. So a kingdom has a country, okay? And that country is ruled by a king. And there's a government in that kingdom that ensures that the king's rule will be followed through. It expands through, every kingdom expands through colonization. For those of you who were here last week, do you remember this? Every kingdom expands through colonization. And in that, they colonize by taking other territories, all right? And I gave the example last week of how England colonized the Bahamas, or England came and colonized the 13 colonies in the U.S., or colonized Ghana, Africa, or colonized Kenya, Africa. Are you with me? And when they colonized it, they took that territory. Whatever kingdom took that territory, the government was set up there, and the culture that came with that kingdom was now set in place there. So, in essence, Bahamas wasn't in England, right? But it had the same customs and same culture as England because it was colonized by England. And so the Kingdom of England came over to the Bahamas, and now the Bahamas was just like England. Africa in Ghana and Kenya was just like England. And I said also Haiti was conquered, and the Kingdom of France came to Haiti. And even when, just to recap, even when the people left, let's say all of the English people left, the culture still remained. So they still speak English in Africa, South Africa. They still speak English here in America, right? They still speak French in Haiti. And Puerto Rico still speaks Spanish because they were conquered by the Kingdom of Spain. And so what I'm just trying to get us to, again, is to understand kingdom, because I think it's so very important. Last week I told you to take notes. Faith comes by hearing. I'm just trying to lay out how this exactly works. Because in this natural taking of territory is the same thing that Jesus came to do spiritually for us. So, Jesus came as a king, bringing his kingdom of heaven to earth. That was instilled in us. The territory that Jesus came to take was us. Are you with me? When he came and we received him, we now take on the same culture that Jesus has. In other words, the same behaviors, the same characteristics. And a governor, whenever a governor or a territory was taken, the governor was put into that territory to make sure that they did what they were supposed to. Well, the governor for us is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit came to live in us as a governor of our life so that we can reflect the culture of Jesus to others. And in turn, because the Holy Spirit, the governor's in us, and we are part of this kingdom of God, wherever we go, we bring the kingdom of God with us, which brings the culture of God with us, which brings the glory of God with us. As I explained last week, the glory of God, I gave an example like the imprint in the dirt. The glory of God is the heaviness, the weightiness, the majesty of God, but it's also his true essence. It's the nature of God, and it leaves an imprint on us like culture does, okay? And so with that culture imprint on us about God, that's how we take it now other places. And when we step out of line, the governor, the Holy Spirit, says, no, you should be back this way. And that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Do you see what I'm saying? So just trying to line this up, because it continues to go and go and take more. For example, okay, the Holy Spirit came and rested on Jesus. Yes? When he was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, and he rose from it, the Holy Spirit came from heaven and rested upon Jesus, right? All right, so one of the scriptures I have for you today is Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going through this. It says, "For a child born." Now, this is the prophecy of Isaiah well before the time of Jesus. And he says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end." His government. Remember, the government is like the Holy Spirit, the governor. And what had come with the Holy Spirit? Peace. Isn't love, joy, peace, kindness? Didn't that come with the Holy Spirit? So anyways, it come on him. It says, "And he will rule with fairness and justice from the throne, only kings sit on thrones, of his ancestor David." And why is it that Jesus had to come from the line of David? Because unlike a president that is elected, kings are born into it. So Jesus had to come from the line of David because he had to be born from the bloodline of a king. Any of this make sense? Bringing this back into line. And so from the beginning, it was even prophesied that this government will be taken over by the kingdom of God. And that's why Jesus came to preach this kingdom of God. And the culture isn't in the land. Like, I felt the glory of God this morning, okay? But it's not in, like, where I'm standing. It's within me, just like the culture. Like we have Nicaragua, you know. From Nicaragua, you speak Spanish, and you still eat beans and rice, just like they do in Puerto Rico, but it was brought forth through a certain culture. And I'm sure, like, I met my wife. My wife's from Michigan. I'm from Southern California. The culture in Southern California is highly Hispanic. I grew up on Mexican food. My wife didn't know what an avocado was when we met. But I never ate steak that was farm-raised and butchered in the barn. Do you know what I mean? It's so her culture impacted me, and my culture impacted her because we came from different areas. But we're both impacted by the King of England many, many, many years ago because we both speak English. I'm just trying to relate things so you have some sort of understanding. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 21. Bringing a little more of this into light here. Second Corinthians 5:16 through 21. "So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has become." You're a new creation. Amen? Verse 18. Now I want you to see some things in here from 18 on. "And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back." He brought us back to himself through Christ. "And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation so that we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us." He's making it through us, okay? "We speak of Christ when we plead, come back to God, or be reconciled." Four times it says be reconciled, okay? Reconciliation. "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." Okay, so Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. Why did he come preaching the kingdom of God? And why did he sacrifice himself on the cross? Because the whole purpose was to bring us back in to relationship with him. For a bigger understanding on this, the prefix R-E means again, or again and again, or back, or backwards. In other words, Adam and Eve had an absolutely beautiful relationship with the Lord. Yes? And they lost it. But he wants us to be right back there with him. So he had to reconcile. We had to be reconsolidated back together through something. And it had to come through the blood of Jesus Christ. We had to be redeemed. We were once right with God, deemed right with God, but we had to be redeemed. He came so that we could be reconciled, reconsolidated back with God by recolonizing us with the power of the Holy Spirit. We had to have the presence of God back in our lives, and the only way to get the presence of God back in our lives was for Jesus to go and be the sin sacrifice once and for all for us. So that now that we've been reconciled, made right again with God, justified, so that now we can take what Jesus has done for us, this message to others, so that they in turn can now be reconciled back to God as well. Do you see how this works? But if we never understand the importance of why we were reconciled and what our role is, we will never take the advancement of the kingdom of God. In other words, we will never colonize a new territory with the culture of God because we don't understand what our purpose and point is. Who's ever said, what is my purpose in life? What's my point in life? As a believer, your purpose and point is to reconcile people who don't know Jesus to Jesus. But how do you reconcile people to Jesus when you, yes, relationship, but if you look just like the world, if you look just like the world when you're trying to reconcile somebody out of the world to the kingdom of God, you're missing the point. That is why I'm up here to preach or teach and say, listen, we should watch our mouths, not for your salvation's sake, but for the advancement of the kingdom of God. We should watch what we do because people are watching you. Why do I want to come and do what you're doing when I can do it in the world all day long? See, the grace of God is absolutely huge. It's what makes us right. We have no condemnation in Christ Jesus because it's not through our works that we have this breakthrough. But we have a breakthrough because of what Jesus has done for us. Do you see, it's not what I've done, but it's what Jesus has done. It's Christ in us that brings us to it. It's the Holy Spirit in us that takes us out of where we once were. It is the Holy Spirit, the governor, if you will, in the kingdom that we're in, the kingdom of God is within, that changes our very existence and our life. How do you want, here's a question to ask yourself, that I ask myself, how do you want to rule your kingdom? How do you want to rule it? Do you want to rule it the way you were ruling it in life or in the world? Or do you want to have a change? You know, so how does God rule his kingdom? He rules it with grace. Do you sow grace? He rules it with mercy. Do you sow mercy? He rules it in justice. Are you just with others? Or is it all about what you want or desire? He's laid it out for us. See, when you understand how a king, a good king, a godly king rules, and you understand that you have the same principle and the same example to follow. Oh, when you have that same example to follow, that's how lives start to get changed because all of a sudden you're not doing what everybody else is doing. You see, the way the world says is normal, I tell you today that normal's not enough. You got to be different in a way so that you're living a life that is exceptional in your kingdom, not exceptional in the world. You see, the world has to see. I'm telling you because there's people who are unsaved that are good, good people that are doing good, good things.
But what is it that makes you stand out above the rest? And I know this is like a, well, I got to do something. Listen, we're not talking about the milk of salvation. I'm talking about chewing the meat of God and what your purpose in life is. Your purpose is to make Jesus famous. Your purpose is to make people understand Jesus so much that all of a sudden it's just like, oh my gosh, I finally got it. But how can you do that if you don't get it? We have to get it. So we have to understand a bigger picture. Now, I understand, Pastor, absolutely looking at the small thing right now and the little thing in front of us and not focusing on everything, but there is a bigger part to our life as a Christian. I've never counseled somebody who was dealing with issues in life because they came to church too much. Well, I go to church every Sunday and my life is in misery. No, usually the people that are coming every Sunday, they have breakthroughs more often than the others. So we use an excuse of saying, you know, I just don't have time. I just don't have time to do it. Well, you got the same time that everybody else does. 24 hours in a day, God designed it that way. It's a thing called priority. Priorities in life. So you are redeemed. You are reconciled. You are reconsolidated with God. You are recolonized with the Spirit of God. You were once the colony of Him, Adam and Eve, and now you've been recolonized. Matthew 6:10 says, we pray, bring heaven to earth. It's here. Right now for you, the kingdom of God is here right now, okay? And you're called kings and priests with a job and a duty to do. I'm closing in this area of the word. We'll be there for a few minutes. Matthew 6:25 through 34. I want to read the whole part of this because I think it's very important to see the fullness of this. And now, and I want you, as I read this, to think of yourself as a king down here, okay? I want you to think of yourself as somebody who has rulership or dominion down here. Are you with me? All right, so where am I at? Matthew 6:25. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, this is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. So he starts off by saying, so this is why I'm telling you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food? And your body more than clothing? I got to stop there for a minute. I mean, who has ever worried about food and clothing? We're going, come on, me. What am I going to eat? We're so spoiled, we get confused because we have too much choices to eat. I'm going to a wedding, right, next Saturday in California. Ooh, I got to have the right suit to wear. I got to have the right tie to wear. Does my tie match my shirt? Do my shoes match my pants? Ooh, worrying about silly things. Silly things. How many people have lost sleep over what they're going to wear to work the next day? That's why I like uniforms. I'm telling you what. But doesn't this make sense? And God is saying, quit worrying about that stuff. It's just stuff. It's just stuff. And I know it's a little more deeper than that, like if you don't have the finances to buy clothes or the finances to buy food. I know there's a depth to it in that manner. But listen. As I continue to read the word, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? This is a point where faith comes in. Aren't you far more valuable to God than them? God created all these things. But He created you in His nature, His image, and His likeness. You are far greater. Jesus is saying, don't worry about these things. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? It's a question mark. The answer is no. Nope. But can they take your life? Yes. It's called stress, and stress kills, my friends. every day. It's called heart attack, stroke. It's called, you know, people who are stressed kill other people, homicide, anger. All of these things are root causes from worry. Worry and anxiety will take you out in life. And why worry about your clothing? Again, he says it again. Why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon and all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, wow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Remember I said it's a thing about faith? And he says, so why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. No, wait, Lord, I am a believer. I'm not an unbeliever. I am a believer. Why do they dominate my thoughts? Oh, I'm just not exercising my faith at the moment. The application, the wisdom. I'm not using what I've learned and applying it to my life. Then God say he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Then he say that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. I mean, these are promises from God. He created us in his likeness and image. I mean, you're so awesome and amazing. We can't think like the world thinks. That's what I get from there. You can't think like the world thinks. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Say that. My Heavenly Father already knows all my needs. He already knows them. Seek, here you go. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness above all else. Live righteously, it says, and he will give you everything you need. Verse 34, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. It is wise to plan for tomorrow, but worrying about tomorrow, it is not. Planning for tomorrow and worrying are two totally different things. Are we clear on that? So I can plan that tomorrow I'm getting up and I'm coming to church, okay? But I'm not going to worry about how I'm going to get here or what's going to take place. But I could if I wanted to. I could certainly take this. So you know what was going on here in these verses, Matthew 6, 25 through 34? Is God was laying out what is priority in life. And so this is what he said. My children, who are heirs to everything that I have, your priority is to seek me and my righteousness above all else. It is not a priority to seek what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, where you're going to live. That's not your priority, because that's just stuff and it fades away. But your life is everlasting. Your life is special. Your life has a destiny and purpose. And because I love you, I will take care of you. Amen. Think about this. Are we higher than the earthly creatures that God? We are higher. We are higher than them. We are created in the image of likeness of God. In the very beginning, in Genesis 1:26, he told his creation, mankind, that they will have dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the cattle of the land, and all the creepy crawly things, all we will have dominion over. And then he said, man and woman, you two be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth and rule over it. He told us to have a dominion reign, a kingdom over that. See, God created the heavens as his kingdom. He created the earth as our kingdom. I don't even know if you heard me there. All right. So now, in here, Jesus is coming. He started off by preaching the kingdom of God in Matthew 4. And now he moves on and he says, here's the deal. You guys are worrying too much about stuff. God loves you so much. Matter of fact, because the kingdom is now at hand with me, Jesus, I don't want you to worry about these other things. Do you know why? Because you already have dominion over them. Did you hear what I said? You already have dominion over them when you come back into the kingdom, because now you're back in your rightful place that you once lost through the sin of Adam. But because I've come to redeem you, to reconsolidate you, to reconcile you, to recolonize you with the Spirit of God, you now don't have to worry about that, because if God's hand is in it, it's yours. It excites me. I like it. I don't know. Thanks for the woohoo. Listen, it's not hard. But the Bible says surround yourself with wise counsel. Wise counsel is the wisdom of those that apply what they know. Remember, I started this off with definition? Wisdom is applying the application of what you know. If we're to surround ourselves with wise counsel, we surround ourselves with those who apply the Word of God. Wise counsel doesn't mean you apply you go to the person that is not living a godly life and ask for counsel. That is why it says do good to all, but especially those in the household of faith. We're to do good, okay? But we have a special connection with our brothers and sisters. Why? Because we are all ruling and reigning as kings and priests in this kingdom. We all have a commonality, and that commonality is Jesus Christ. And that commonality is the Word of God, the Constitution of God, if you will, the very Word of God that changes how we do things. So if you're going to somebody and it's like, man, everything they told me doesn't work, maybe you need to figure out if they're telling you godly advice. So how do you test whether or not it's godly advice? It's in the Word. There was a thing, a people called the Faithful Bereans. And they were known as these people that would go, and when they were told something, they would go to see, is that really in the Word? And they would check it out for themselves, and they would say, oh my gosh, it is in the Word. Okay, then I should apply it. As we go on this beautiful journey of getting to know who you are in the kingdom of God and how to set priorities, I believe that so many lives can be changed. So many lives can be changed. And that is my prayer today, is that we take what we've learned and we move forward with it. Let's close in prayer. Father, we love you and we are so grateful for everything that you do in our lives. I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to worry about what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat, where we're going to live, how we're going to do things. Father, I thank you that you give us wisdom to be able to apply it to our lives. I thank you, Lord, that as we seek your kingdom, your way, your influence, your direction, God, I thank you that everything else will be added to us. Father, as long as we're looking to you, the author and finisher of our faith, you provide the rest. God, I thank you for principles like we reap and we sow, and whatever we sow, we shall reap. Father, I thank you that we know to reap those things that bring life and not death, to sow those things that change, Father. God, I ask that you bless each and every family that's here today. I thank you, Lord, that your hand of glory is upon them. The imprint of you is making a difference in all of our lives, Lord. Father, on this day and all the days to come, we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen. Amen. God bless you.